Now your ideas don't have to wait. Now they have everything they need to come to life. Dell Technologies and Intel are creating technology that loves ideas, loves expanding your business, evolving your passions. We push what technology can do, so great ideas can happen right now. Find out how to bring your ideas to life at Dell.com/welcome to now.
What does motion sound like? With Kizik Hands Free Shoes, it sounds a little something like this. Experience the magic of motion. Get a free pair of socks with your first order at kizik.com/socks.
This podcast is brought to you by Microsoft Teams. When there's more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. When I am thinking about this.
This is the Rich Eisen Show.
I don't truly linger too long about what it would mean that Trevor Lawrence would come and be the quarterback of the Jets.
What a run by Trevor Lawrence!
Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles. Earlier on the show, SportsCenter host Scott Van Pelt, NFL Network analyst Joe Thomas. Coming up, Los Angeles Chargers running back Austin Eckler. Plus, Tenet writer and director Christopher Nolan. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Okay, hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. We're pleased to have you here. If you just joined us, we had great conversations with Scott Van Pelt and Joe Thomas about that Monday night Week 14 finale, a wildly entertaining game with 89 points, which was a record between two teams that started former Heisman Trophy winners against each other. It was just amazing. It was a lot of fun. And now week 15 beckons. But before that, we look back a little bit and then also look over the steering wheel. Chris Brockman, our poll question, the top of hour number three at Rich Eisen Show for people to vote on. You repeat it. I don't think I've hit it with a retweet yet. We'll do that.
No, not. It's actually pretty even right now. So we were talking about quarterback rivalries based on Lamar versus Baker last night. So what's the best NFL division QB rivalry for the next 5 years? So looking into the future, is it Lamar versus Baker, Russ versus Kyler Murray, Tua versus Josh Allen, or Justin Herbert versus Patrick Mahomes? Pretty even right now. 29% Russ versus Kyler, 28% for both Lamar versus Baker and Herbert v. Mahomes.
Yes.
16% Tua versus Josh Allen.
Okay, very good. Keep voting on that at Rich Eisen Show. The director and writer of the movie Tenet, also Interstellar, also great films, the Dark Knight, the trilogy of The Dark Knight. Christopher Nolan is going to be joining us. Inception, what a movie that is. Memento. Dunkirk, which, as we know, was Academy Award nominated. Tenet is a brilliant movie. We talked about it with John David Washington, the star of Tenet, and a guy who got a cup of coffee with the St. Louis Rams in preseason football. I remember that several years ago. Christopher Nolan's going to be joining us on this show in about 18 minutes' time. But somebody who is doing great stuff for the Los Angeles Chargers right here, just up the road from us. The rare Western Colorado to NFL path taken by one Austin Eckler here on the Rich Eisen Show. How are you, Austin?
Hey, what's going on, Rich? Appreciate you having me on.
I appreciate you coming on here. So let's talk about your journey, sir. Born in Nebraska, right? Born in Lincoln, but you wound up living in Colorado. Is that correct, Austin?
Yeah, right. Born in Nebraska, like you said, and then went through K through 12. Out in Colorado in a little farm town called Eaton, Colorado.
Okay. And so how did you wind up in Western Colorado, and how did you get noticed there, Austin?
I wasn't really heavily recruited out of high school, if really recruited at all, by any D1s. And so I was looking around the area, and there's Division II school. And then at the time, it was Western State Colorado University, but I think it changed their name recently. There's a couple other D2s that were reaching out to me, but Western wanted me to play running back, and that's what I wanted to play. And so that's why I chose going to Western State.
And then your undrafted experience, what was draft day like for you 2017, Austin? What was that like?
Right. So, coming from a smaller school, teams think they can pick you up in, the undrafted, period. And so they don't waste a draft pick on you. And so it was actually better for me because I was able to kind of pick and choose from a couple different teams, and the Chargers were on the top of my list, them in Green Bay, and the Chargers ended up, calling me halfway through the seventh round saying, hey, if he doesn't get picked up in these last few picks, then we're willing to take him on as an undrafted free agent. And so from then on, I knew I was probably going to the Chargers.
Did you try to make it to the combine? Did you send like DVDs around or anything like that to try and get to the combine?
I don't know about DVDs. Might be past that time.
Excuse me, Mr. Eckler, Mr. Twitch, Mr. Gamer. I still get DVDs sent to me at NFL Network from people saying, "Can you help me get this in the hands of somebody for the combine?" These things happen.
All right.
Okay, I'm not that old, Austin. I got to push back here a little bit here. All right?
I feel you.
DVDs no, laughing DVDs at me.
But
Did you try to get to the combine? Did you try?
I didn't really try just because I didn't really have any traction as far as, like, I didn't go to a Senior Bowl or any of the, the higher bowl games. And so I was like, hey, let me just try to get into a pro day, because I couldn't have a pro day at my school because, if you didn't know, Western's at 7,800 feet. So there's snow year-round during the winter and then going into spring. So I had to go to CU Denver, Colorado Boulder, to get there, to do my pro day there.
Damn. So yeah. So were the Chargers there? I mean, is that where they first saw you?
Yeah,
I mean,
so it was kind of it's kind of different. So CU, they had their pro day with all their guys, and then they had like add-ons at the end. And there's like 20 of us, like from smaller schools around, and just people just trying out. And they let us run 40s, and they let us do our like jumping measurements, and they cut us all down to two. It was me and this other corner, and they told everyone else, "Yeah, you're done. You didn't pass it." And I was like, "Oh, like it's already cutthroat." And so then I went on with the rest of my pro day and did some drills. And yeah, the Chargers were there. I think there was like 20 teams that ended up staying. And so I put out a pretty good outing just to kind of solidify that, yeah, I have good numbers as far as like measurables. And then it was just all up from there.
Austin Eckler here on the Rich Eisen Show. So when you're balling out right now, what do you think of those old days? I mean, what if you told that kid that needed to go somewhere else for a pro day and watch draft day go without him and getting a call from the Chargers seventh round and all of that. What do you think of?
I don't think I've told that kid anything, but I think that kid keeps telling me stuff.
What is that?
My current day. And that's just to continue to work and continue to be efficient. That's kind of that's what my mindset's been since day one is, okay, how can I be efficient with the opportunities that I have? Because in the very beginning of my career, my opportunities were like four plays of practice. And a couple of those plays would be on scout team. And so it was very, very limited. But I wanted to make sure I studied as much as I could. And I knew my entire job. I knew what I had to do. So when I go out there, I could play 100%. And, you know, I started to gain traction because I remember a specific instance when I was running down on scout team punt. We're giving our punt return team a look. And I was running as fast as I could, and it was 100%. We were going full speed, and nobody could block me. I made my mind out, nobody could block me. Hmm. And they came back to film, and Coach Lynn, our head coach, walks in the room, and he asked our special teams coordinator, he's like, hey, who's that number three? Because at the time, I wore number three, which you can't even wear as a running back, so it was basically a long shot from the beginning. So who's number three? And Coach Stu, our special teams coach, goes, yeah, that's Austin Eckler, man. He's been giving us great looks out there. And, you know, so I started to see some, like, confirmation, like, hey, I'm being noticed. And I kept building on that and building on that until I finally just forced my way into the organization.
And now you're the lead back there when healthy. What was that like for you this year? That, again, Melvin Gordon, as we know, was holding out last year, and you stepped in, and you definitely made more of a name for yourself, and this was going to be your year to be the man, and then your hamstring damn near rips off the bone, right? Was it that bad for you, Austin?
Yeah, going into week four, you know, I was having pretty good outings. Like I said, being efficient coming into the year, I was averaging like 130, 40 yards a game. So, you know, I was out here playing well. We were still strong. You know, that's a different story. But, yeah, week four, I injured my hamstring, and I had torn like the muscle on my hamstring and then torn the tendon off the bone a little bit. So pretty significant injury. It was a higher hamstring. Usually get like a lower hamstring injury, but mine was really high because I was just in an awkward position when it happened. And yeah, that basically took me out for 2 months. And, you know, in the NFL, there's not really a lot of time to be sitting out. So I missed a lot of games, I think like 6 or 7. And definitely, you know, the team's been struggling. So it doesn't help when, you know, we've had some other guys that's injured as well. But finally made it back. I've gotten a couple games under my belt. And now I'm feeling more so like myself. So looking forward to being out in these last 3 games. Taking it one at a time, though, with the Raiders coming up on Thursday.
Yeah, and I appreciate you joining me here in a short week. And we'll talk about your Gridiron Gaming Group in a second. Austin Eckler here on the Rich Eisen Show. Your coach is on a hot seat, sir. I'm sure you're aware of that. What does the locker room think when you hear that Anthony Lynn is on the hot seat? What does that bring in your mind, sir?
I feel like, because to me, my perspective is like, look, this is an NFL team. Like, people are going to win, people are going to lose. And it's like, people always try to, okay, figure out what's the reason we're losing. And they try to pinpoint it. But however, like, when it comes to the NFL and playing football, it's the ultimate team sport. So it's usually not ever anyone's fault directly. If it is, it's usually pretty obvious. And I just don't see that being the situation out here. You know, there's times where it's been like, okay, coaching decisions, we messed up. So maybe that's why, you know, the media is like trying to pinpoint that. Or there's been times when the offense did not play well when we usually played well. For instance, when we lost 45-0. Like, this is the NFL. Like, you know, we didn't score an entire point the entire game. Like, sure, coaching could have been better, but offensively we have to make plays and put points on the board. And so I just think it's too hard to justify to say it's because of Anthony Lynn and he's on the hot seat because of that. So I get his role. His role is to represent our team. So I get that's why the media is kind of, you know, pushing towards that point. But collectively we're in this together. Hey, we got 3 more games. We're going to try to win all these come down the backstretch, and it's up to us to try to be as consistent as we can as a team, and, you know, specifically me on the offense, just trying to, you know, carry my load and what's expected of me in this offense and help.
And they're all division games too, Austin. I mean, that's a nice measuring stick too for you to finish up here and finish up strong. How good is Justin Herbert? How good is this kid?
So far, man, he's shown the potential that he's going to be a great player. You know, I see his arm strength and his arm talent when he's running, getting hit, just in all sorts of different situations, you know, long throws, short throws, just decision-making has been getting better with experience as far as changing plays, as far as calling protection to protect himself from blitz. And, you know, I think he's going to be really special. He's a really smart kid, really dedicated. He has good team chemistry, which is very important. You know, he's a competitor. And so just having him in the room, I don't know, it just, he still seems like he's the rookie as far as like the chemistry. But like I said, that'll come with time, especially coming into a room, you know, with a lot of older guys. I think he's like one of the youngest on the team too. So I'm really looking forward to playing with him over the next couple of years and seeing him develop.
Well, he clearly made a rookie mistake letting John Lott cut his hair. Austin, how much of grief did the team give him for that?
You know, we gave him a little crap, but at the end of the day, you know, it's all fun and games. Like,
of course,
he stuck with it. So yeah, but no, we definitely gave him some heck for that.
I mean, yeah, I mean, let John Lott, of all people, your strength and conditioning coach. I mean, I don't look at John and say and say he's a stylist in any way, shape, or form.
Right?
You know, I mean.
Hey, you're the first round pick. You can afford to have someone come cut your hair.
In Los Angeles. I mean, in L.A. My God. There's like 1,000 people that would do that better than John.
They'll even come to your house, so you don't have to worry about getting
caught. Of course. You do it in the backyard. I mean, it's not. It's 70 degrees out. I mean, what's he thinking? Well, what the hell was that? Honestly.
He's just, I don't know, trying to build some chemistry, I guess.
I guess so. Austin Eckler here on the Rich Eisen Show. Okay, sir, the Gridiron Gaming Group, right? You're definitely one of the most famous gamers in the National Football League, as anybody who is even towards Twitch would know. What's Gridiron Gaming Group? What is it?
Right. So before I go on, I just want to kind of get the misconception that I'm like a gamer because Twitch is a live streaming platform, not just a gaming platform.
Okay.
So I do some gaming on there, but for the most part, it's just me having an opportunity to interact with, you know, whoever wants to stop by. All right. Ask some questions, talk about live football, funny things that's going on. Okay. It's more just of an interactive thing that I started when COVID really hit. We can't have any like signings or giveaways.
Right.
And so I started looking to Twitch to live stream and, you know, talk to people. And then, you know, I kind of had a proof of concept with myself of just seeing all these different opportunities that doing live streams brought to me. And so then I went ahead and formed a team and joined and created what's called Gridiron Gaming Group. And basically what Gridiron Gaming Group is, long story short, it's just a platform to bring other athletes, other influencers that want to be in the space, bring them to this platform so they don't have to start from ground zero. They can start with already, you know, my editor's help. They can start with our sponsors of Gridiron Gaming Group. And then it's an opportunity for sponsors to also get involved, to have their products in a new space. For example, you know, I've done some fundraisers. I've done some just actual, like, just promotion events for, like, Samsung. Wilson's one of our sponsors. And so we just have a lot of new people getting involved because this is a new space, especially when we're at home so much. People are looking for new ways to do see content and create content. And, yeah, I'm reaching out to any athletes, influencers that want to try to come join a group, and we can bounce, you know, our platforms off each other and grow together and gain traction and open up opportunities for ourselves.
Okay, so should I bring my VCR with me, Austin, if I come?
Yeah, bring it in. Hey,
bring my VCR, my DVDs, and my Walkman, right? Should I bring all that? My record player?
For sure. But yeah, if you want to come check me out on Twitch, yeah, it's Austin Eckler on Twitch.
Okay.
I stream on Tuesdays and Fridays.
Yeah, and so who's going to co-host Thursday Night Football if you're actually playing in Austin?
So, yeah,
what about that?
That's another thing I've been doing.
Yeah,
and that's another opportunity that I've had is partnering with Twitch and the NFL and streaming the Thursday Night Football games. And so I would have never had that opportunity hadn't been for Twitch. So,
right. But who's sitting?
Like that. But this week, you know,
who's sitting in for you?
Thinking about putting my laptop on the sideline and going over and talking when the defense is on the field. But I was like, yeah, I should probably pay attention.
I don't know if Coach Lynn would give the blue check mark to that one. The powder blue check mark would not come for that one, Austin. So we'll just have to do without a Thursday night with Austin Eckler on Twitch. But hey, look, congratulations on everything that you're doing. I mean, that is a great use of the platform that you have. And the moments that you have being a National Football League player of your style and your grace, as well as your playing acumen, this is beyond wise and way to go, is what I'm saying.
Hey, Austin. Thank you, Rich. I appreciate that, man.
You got it. Just because again, you know, I know you don't want to be known as a gamer. That said, okay, I will just say this. That said, are you the best at it in the NFL when you do it? Are you the best at it?
Yes, I would say I'm the best streamer, yes.
Okay, you're the best streamer on Twitch. Okay.
I need
to basically say this then too, Austin. You know, since I did say the words DVD before, which made you laugh, you're on a streamer right now on Peacock, so I get it, is basically what I'm saying. I understand.
Yeah, there you go. There you go.
Of streaming.
We can relate.
We can relate. See, we finally came all together. Last one for you, Austin. Did Lamar Jackson go to the bathroom last night? What do you think? As a professional football player who knows it and sees it and understands it, what do you think?
I'm gonna say no. I'm gonna believe him that he had some cramps.
Now, did you play in the old Qualcomm? Did you close down Qualcomm? Were you there for the old?
I did not. I was only up in step up.
Okay, because I was talking about there used to be a bathroom right on the sideline for the Chargers, so that wouldn't happen. So you're going. Lamar did in fact take the IV last night.
Yeah, for sure.
Is that because you're a nice guy? Is that what you're saying, or what? Come on now, what do you think?
I mean, it makes sense. Like, if you had to go to the bathroom, why wouldn't you just say you had to go to the bathroom?
Okay, there you go.
It's an emergency.
Austin Eckler, it's happened. We're only human, right? Is basically what you're saying. We're only human.
That's right. Get it.
Well, congrats again. So tomorrow you're going to be announcing the first NFL team members signing on to your Gridiron Gaming Group company, correct? That's happening tomorrow?
Yeah, that'll be announced tomorrow, I believe, yeah.
On Twitch? Is that what you're doing?
I think my Twitch stream already knows probably about it, but officially to the world now.
Okay. Very good.
Kind of on other socials.
Thank you very much, Austin. We'll be looking out for that. Let's do this more often. Thanks for the call.
Awesome. Let's do it. Thanks, Rich.
You got it. That's Austin Eckler, at Austin Eckler on both Twitter and Instagram, which I'm on as a 51-year-old man. I made him laugh. DVDs. Yeah. I get them, literally, sent to my NFL Network. I get them. I don't know what I can do with them. I'm just the host of the Combine. I'm not the rainmaker of the Combine. I don't decide who gets to go and who doesn't. But people think that I do. So I mentioned DVD. This guy laughs.
You don't have that power?
Huh?
You don't have that power?
No.
You should be. You should have it.
You know who's got the power? The director and writer of Tenet's got the power. Christopher Nolan, one of the greatest directors of our generation, will be joining the Rich Eisen Show next. I cannot wait for this movie conversation in a moment. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. With Together Mode, you can bring everyone together in one space in the same virtual room. You can bring the power of true collaboration to your projects with whiteboard, drawing, sharing, and building ideas in real time, all on the same page. And with large gallery view, you can see more of your team all at once with up to 49 people on screen, all at the same time. You can even raise your hand virtually so everyone can be seen and heard. When there are more ways to be together, there are more ways to be a team. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Browns and Giants, it's a flex game. Was 49ers Cowboys, no longer. It's now Browns Giants, the 5 seed in the AFC, taking on a Giants team that was the 4 seed in the NFC and then dropped all the way down to 10. The step outside of the NFC East penthouse is a Lulu. You go straight right down. And the Giants went from the 19th spot in the draft to the 10th. So they gained 9 spots in the draft, lost 6 seeds in the standings with just one singular loss. That's a big, fat, large Lulu of a step outside the penthouse of the NFC East.
That's a shame.
You can say that's a shame all you want. You're 2 back. I mean, I guess you could. There is still a chance.
I just meant looking at those records.
I think that's a shame. No, yeah. I thought you meant that about the Giants.
No, just that, whatever.
But the Browns need a win. The Giants need this win. That's what Week 15 is all about, people. There's just one win on the table, and everybody's going to fight for it in Week 15. It's going to be great. 2 Saturday games, a bunch on Sunday, the Thursday nighter that Austin Eckler's playing in, and then, of course, the Monday night finale that's going to be Pittsburgh and Cincinnati right here on the Rich Eisen Show, NBC Sports on Peacock, as well as Sirius XM Channel 211. We back here on our radio affiliates? We're back here?
We are.
Okay, very good. We're back here on our radio affiliates, and we're excited about it. I just love movies, man. Do I love them? We all do, obviously, and this man has made some incredible films. Is Christopher Nolan on the line?
Yes, he is.
As promised, he's one of the best directors there is on planet Earth today. His film Tenet, we had John David Washington on earlier this year. It stars John David Washington along with Robert Pattinson and Kenneth Branagh and more. And you can own Tenet now on 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and digital, also in theaters, written and directed by Christopher Nolan here on The Rich Eisen Show. How are you, sir?
I'm good. How are you doing?
I am doing fine. I do not normally like to pick the brains of people who create such great films, but I wonder what goes on in your temples, sir. It is this film is remarkable, as is your filmography. How do you come up with the idea for Tenet, Christopher?
Gosh, I mean, I think anyone who's seen any of my other films won't be surprised to learn that I've always been interested in time in movies and how you can portray time and manipulate it in cinematic storytelling. But I think the seed of the idea for Tenet comes from an image I had very early on in my career of the idea of a bullet being sucked out of the wall and into the barrel of a gun. And I had it in my film Memento in sort of symbolic terms, but I'd always harbored a desire to construct a story on a movie where the characters would deal with the physical reality of that, the idea of time or some elements of the environment being reversed in time, some going forward and mixing that together. And so Tenet is, you know, it's something I've been working on for a lot of years in terms of how to combine that with an entertaining spy thriller.
So again, for those who may not have yet seen it, and you should absolutely see it the first minute that you have an opportunity to do it, You create a world in which physical objects, as you pointed out, can actually go backwards in time, although creating stuff that are happening forward in real time, as well as human beings that become inverted that also have all that. Did you have to take a particular time to actually explain this to people that you wanted to have in your movie, to actually walk them through what you mean by all this?
Well, listening to you explain it, I'm tempted to cut in and say, yeah, you just have to kind of see it, really.
Because did I botch it? Did I botch it, Christopher?
No, not at all. Okay. You did it very well, but it's you know, it becomes a little overwhelming when it's verbal. And that's kind of the point. And that was a lot of the discussion with the people in the film, is you can talk it through and you can analyze it and how this is going to work with the different timelines and people going forwards, people going backwards. But really, it's about the experience. It's about the camera seeing time for us and the camera being able to show us time backwards, forwards, speed it up, slow down, or whatever, and getting to just enjoy that experience. For me, Tenet is first and foremost an action film. And the science fiction component gave me a reason to portray these action set pieces that we've all perhaps, you know, seen in other movies, you know, whether it's a car chase or a plane crash or so forth, to mount it on a large scale, but look at it in a different way, look at it through a different lens. And for me as an audience member, that's just what I'm always looking for, some kind of freshness to things. So I want to enjoy a large-scale action movie. I want to go on that thrill ride, but I want something new out of it. I want to look at it in a way that I haven't before. And that's what we've tried to do with Tenet.
Like two humans fighting each other, one who's living in real time moving forward and one who's already conducted the fight going backwards. I mean, that happened. How did you shoot that, Christopher Nolan? How does that get shot?
Well, filmed? It gets shot mostly in camera. We did a lot of discussion and planning at the beginning, thinking that we'd use visual effects, and then visual effects turned out not to be the solution. The solution was to cast an athletic performer, John David Washington, who's a, you know, former NFL player.
Yes.
Incredible physical talent, as well as a charismatic and a wonderful actor. And I threw him in with the stunt guys and the fight choreographer very early on. Said, okay, week one, day one of this film, you're going to be doing this fight forwards, backwards, every which way. A fight that, for reasons I won't go into, because I don't want to have any spoilers, but we had to learn this fight four different ways. And this guy turned up ready to play. He turned up on set day one and just dazzled the stunt team, dazzled everybody on set. It was really an amazing thing to watch. It was like Fred Astaire, you know?
Yeah, that is one way to do it, because when I watched it, and again, I know I want to tiptoe through this because I don't want to spoil it too much, but when you say four different ways, you mean literally like, okay, you do it forwards, and now let's do it as if we're running it back. And it's you're not taking the same fight and then just somehow, some way running it back. You actually have the actors do it.
They're actually performing it both ways. And the way we had to shoot it, and we learned a lot that first week. I decided to schedule it because it was one of the hardest things in the film.
Yes.
But I knew that if we could get our methodology figured out, we would then apply that to the car chase in the film. We would apply that to the plane crash. We would apply that to the great battle at the end. And so it was even more than that. It was they'd perform it one way, we'd film it a few times, and then we'd go, you know what, let's try it the other way. So on a dime, they would have to reverse all that chronology, enter into a completely different fight that goes from one end of the corridor to the other, you know, figure that out. We give them a few rehearsals, and then we get in and film it again. And it's a real testament to the skill of the stunt team led by George Cottle and John David, and his commitment to making this work, that they were able to dazzle us all the time.
Christopher Nolan here on The Rich Eisen Show. Again, you can own Tenet now on 4K Ultra HD, Blu-ray, and digital, also available in theaters if things can work out for you to see it in a theater. You mentioned again science fiction and action like taking a 747 and driving it into a building. Did you really do that? That actually happened?
Yes, we did.
Christopher?
We really did it. We had I'd scripted this sequence for this plane crash, and we looked at doing it with you know, miniatures and CG and set builds and everything. And when you added up all those numbers, it occurred to us that it might actually be cheaper to buy a real plane. originally, we had our eye on like a 737, something like that.
Yes.
And we went out to the the airplane graveyard, or where we could buy an old 737. And while we were looking at the 737s, I started looking across the field. You could see these MD-11s and 747s. And I sort of thought, and I said to the line producer, well, hang on a second, why can't we get one of those big ones? Let's if we're going to do it. I actually had the unique experience of impulse buying a 747 and then getting to crash it.
Okay. I have a few questions, if you don't mind me pulling on those strands here. I'll be honest with you. When I was watching this film, I didn't think while watching that scene that this was done for economic reasons, that it would be cheaper to do it the way you were doing it. How does one impulse purchase a 747, Christopher?
Well,
how does one do that?
Buy it from the salvage company, who then offers to buy it back from you.
Okay.
That you don't destroy. And the key thing is you sell the engines. You take the engines off first, because that's the expensive part that they reuse. So we took the engines off, built our own engines, much cheaper engines, obviously, fake engines, just a little electric motor to turn the fan blade. And that way, you're not doing any of the CG. You're also not building the interior set, which for an airplane is very expensive to build. And you're not building and shooting a miniature, which would be millions of dollars right there to do it well. So in a weird way, yeah, it was kind of a wash. But you can only do that if you've got a team of people working for you who can figure out how to do this. And so, interesting point. I'm sure you've seen The Dark Knight.
Of course.
There's a scene in The Dark Knight where an 18-wheeler truck flips over onto its back.
Yes.
The guy driving that truck is a great stunt guy called Jim Wilkie. He's been around a long time. He's the same guy driving our 747 in Tenet. And so it's literally a thing of saying, Jim, can you drive a 747? Can you figure out how to do that? And, you have a team like that, people that you've worked with for years, you can do these things.
And here I thought Michael Caine was the most valuable member of your team, Christopher.
Well, there's in front of the camera and then there's behind the camera.
Yes, understood.
There's a lot of people involved.
Yes, there's a lot of people. Christopher Nolan here on the Rich Eisen Show. That's a question I wanted to ask you, not to put you too much on a spot here, but growing up in London, if I had told you that you could make a movie where you could bash 747s into buildings and also car chases that exhilarate or make several films.
Bashing things up and blowing things up is a hell of a thrill.
Yes.
But the longer I do this job, the more, working with somebody like Michael, who, for a British kid growing up, absolute legend. To have had the times that I've got to have with Sir Michael, I wouldn't trade those for anything.
I bet. It was just a delight to see him in Tenet. I'm like, okay, I'm expecting to see Michael Caine. When am I going to see him? And there he was. And he was just... It was great. It's just it really was just a delight to see him. I'm a big fan of his, and obviously he's been in so many of the Prestige and the Batman films, and Inception is just in a great film as well.
Actually in Dunkirk as well.
That's right.
A tiny little there's a bit of his voice playing over the radio.
Oh, that's right.
Reprising his pilot from Battle of Britain from many years before.
Oh my gosh!
I had to get him in there somewhere.
Yeah, of course. And Kenneth Branagh is in Dunkirk and this film.
Yeah.
As well, in Tenet. Christopher Nolan here on the Rich Eisen Show. I would be remiss if I did not bring up The Dark Knight with you. There are so many fans of that film for which it is a remote drop. Doesn't matter where they find it. They have to watch it to the end, wherever they found it. How did you come across Heath Ledger for that role, Christopher? How did that come about?
Well, I'd met Heath a few times over the years, including actually when we were first casting Bruce Wayne. I met with him and if he was interested in throwing his hat into that ring, and he wasn't at the time, but I had a really great meeting with him, and we'd sort of tried to find something over the years. And when I knew with the Joker, we were just looking for something utterly different. A great artist like Heath, that if he's up for the challenge, and he was absolutely up for the challenge, he was hungry to do something like that and, really, really let loose. They're going to do something different, and they're going to take some risks and really put something on screen. And it's one of the great privileges of my career that I got to work with such a great artist.
So I had Aaron Eckhart on the show just a couple of weeks ago, Christopher, and he told the story about how he was in the bed in the hospital room, and he placed himself as the actor there early on in the day and watched Heath go through his process, working out everything for the scene that he was going to do, and he didn't say a word, just watched Heath go through all of that. As a director, what do you do when you see somebody go through a process like that, Christopher?
You try and support it, and there's a moment in that scene, you know, where we're covering the scene, a lot of different angles, and we're getting towards his close-up, and the time was ticking, and we were really a little bit out of time, and I don't like to work long hours. I like to try and finish on time for the crew, because you're on a very long shoot.
Sure.
But he said to me, you know, I'm in it, can we keep going? And I said, yeah, absolutely. We nailed it, he nailed it, and everybody's jaw was dropping with the performance. And then on his way out, he very quietly, not in any flashy way, he went to every single member of the crew and just thanked them for working longer. Very quietly, didn't even want anyone to see that he was doing it. And that's the kind of guy he was.
Mm. Tom Schoen just published a book about your work entitled The Nolan Variations, The Movies, Mysteries, and Marvels of Christopher Nolan. I have not read this tome yet, but will I learn in it why you are so fascinated with time, with, you know, the subconscious, with wormholes, with, again, what we just saw in Tenet?
I think you learn a fair amount about that. I think Tom, I cooperated with the book, obviously. Tom's somebody I've been running into over the years. You know, he's a journalist, a film critic, and he'd been bugging me to cooperate with the book for a long time. And I told him I felt like I hadn't done enough yet. And it was after Dunkirk, he finally convinced me. And we spent a few years just chatting about things. And he's put it together into this, I think it's a marvelous piece of writing that he's done. There's a lot of him in the book. There's an interesting sensibility to it. And I think for fans of the movies, you know, he kept it about the movies and my interest in the stories I was telling more than anything. So, I think it's a good read. But, of course, I'm biased.
Sure. I wouldn't blame you for being biased. Before I let you go, what is your remote drop movie, Christopher, wherever you're watching television and you see a film that is a favorite of yours, or you just don't mind binging it, even if it's not yours, obviously? Which one is it? Just a fan film?
I haven't heard the remote drop as a phrase. That's a fantastic one.
There you go.
Yeah, I love it. And there are so many. I mean, I flick around, and if there's an old movie playing, I mean, God, anything by Kubrick, you know, it's a remote drop. But some of the great comedies, too. And, I mean, Talladega Nights, I'm never going to be able to switch that off.
Okay, now then. Really?
What?
The Ballad of Ricky Bobby is a Christopher Nolan mic drop movie. Is that what you're saying?
If you ain't first, you're last.
You're not wrong, Christopher. You're not wrong. That's fantastic. Does Will Ferrell know this? Did you just reveal that?
He does now.
He does now. Okay. Kubrick is that way for me, too, though, by the way. Dr. Yeah. Strangelove is one that does not get mentioned quite a bit. Which one, before I let you go, I honestly could bend your ear all day. Which Kubrick film is the most influential for you?
Got to be 2001. I mean, I love all of them, but 2001, I had the joy of working with the Kubrick estate a few years ago, too, what we called Unrestore It. We had these old intermediate negatives that were made in the 90s of the original camera negative 2001, and we got the lab to print them and make us a version on 70mm with the original soundtrack, the original color time, exactly as Kubrick would have put it out at the time. Myself and my director of photography, Hoyte van Hoytema, working with Warner Brothers, and we took it to the Cannes Film Festival with Ron Saunders from Warner Brothers, and we showed it to an audience there. Denis Villeneuve was in the audience, and was just reminding me the other day of this great screening. It was just an incredible thing to watch it the way it would have originally come out. And spending all that time working on that movie to get it to that screening, every time I saw it, something was added to it. You just saw something in it that you hadn't seen before, even though you'd seen it so many times. It's an incredible piece of work.
Full of stars, right? It's amazing. Just terrific stuff, Christopher. I'd love this conversation. I would love to do it as often as you're willing whenever you have something coming out like Tenet on 4K Ultra HD Blu-ray and digital, also available in theaters. A big fan of your work, and I appreciate the call, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. That's Christopher Nolan, writer and director of Tenet. Again, on Ultra HD, 4K, Blu-ray, and digital, and in theaters. How cool is that?
Wow.
Ricky Bobby. If you're not first, you're last.
If you ain't first, you're last.
Thank you very much. Good. Yeah, very you got nice. A new drop.
Hey. And you tell them about remote drops.
Well, I mean, I like making people better than I've found that I didn't think I'd be possible with Christopher Nolan.
He never heard of that phrase before.
No, he's British. I guess that's not a phrase that Brits hear.
I guess not.
There are words, though, that Brits say that are make it sound better.
Yeah, like more important.
You know, Kubrick is one of them. Yeah. We Americans, I guess, call him Kubrick.
Mm-hmm. Right.
They would know better, Kubrick.
Kubrick.
And another word, Jaguar. When you, yeah. when you, Jaguar. You know what I mean? Like, hey, you're gonna Jacksonville Jaguars.
Yep. Sounds way cooler.
Jaguar.
I used to have one of those, so that's how I used to pronounce it all the time.
Is that right?
Fancy. Yeah. Jaguar.
You know the difference between a Porsche and a Porsche, right?
No.
Yeah. A Porsche is when someone else owns it. A Porsche is when you own it.
Oh. You've heard the joke about
I drive a Porsche. What do you drive?
I drive a Porsche.
You're right.
You've heard the joke about the BMW and the porcupine?
No.
I don't know if I could say that on Peacock.
Then don't. What's going on with you today?
I'm just saying. I'll tell you after the show.
Oh, my gosh. She's leading us down one blind alley after another. All right. Let's take a break. Your phone calls 844-204-RICH. Number to dial. We'll check on our poll question and more. That's next on this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We'll set up our guest list for tomorrow as well. Now, there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in one space with a new virtual room. Collaborate live. Drawing, sharing, and building ideas with everyone on the same page. And make sure more of your team is seen and heard with up to 49 people on screen at once. Learn more about all the newest Teams features at Microsoft.com/Teams. Okay, Bayside's back. I'm supposed to say this, Hal? How do I? You say get so excited for me, Chris. How
well, she's like crying. She's like, I'm so excited. You know what I mean?
I got you now. Yeah, Peacock Original, Saved by the Bell. It's streaming now right here on Peacock. That's Elizabeth Berkley referring to, right? Elizabeth back in the day. Berkley, she's back in it. Way Mario back. Lopez as well. Hey, 12 to 3 Eastern Time. We're going to hand things off to Brother from Another. With Michael Holly and Michael Smith. I think it's Michael Smith's week to join us. They've been rotating.
Correct. Yeah, correct.
Tomorrow's show, we've got Kyle Brandt on tomorrow. Brian Greasy's going to join us.
Hey, all right.
He called that game in Cleveland. So Brian Greasy will be joining us tomorrow.
They were great last night on the cast.
Yeah. I really have been enjoying
their
calls.
It was an awesome game,
man.
And it was an awesome call by those
guys. I have been enjoying their calls. There's no doubt about that. So that's who's on tomorrow's show. Kyle Brandt as well. I'm just trying to. I always forget who's on. Oh gosh, we got a great guest list tomorrow. We're back here on the Rich Eisen Show on our radio. Brian Greasy will join us tomorrow. Kyle Brandt will join us tomorrow. I cannot wait to talk to this gent, man, because you know when we heard names that opted out for COVID-19, and I understood every last one of them for health purposes. This is the only one who opted out for health purposes, so he could help people. Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, who left the Super Bowl winning offensive line for the Kansas City Chiefs to go up into Canada, his native Canada, and work in a hospital. He's Dr. Duvernay-Tardif, and we've been trying to get him on the show. He's named one of the sports people of the year by Sports Illustrated, and one of the reasons why he has not been able to join us yet is he's working.
Kind of busy.
He's working.
Doing the thing, man.
So we found a time, and it's tomorrow, top of hour number two tomorrow. Very excited to talk to him.
Yeah, that'll be fun.
That'll be on tomorrow's show. On Thursday's show, Rich Gannon will join us. He watched the Jets do their thing. And, you know, he's going to get set. He's gonna join us the day that Gruden and the Raiders play. Vegas against our guest that we just hung up with earlier this hour in Austin Eckler. Richard Jefferson will join us as well. Talking about the Giannis news.
NBA in a week.
And more. Yeah. Okay.
Man.
He's also the co-host of the Sports Illustrated Awards with our Friday guest, Ocho Cinco.
Hey.
How about that?
Now, that's going to be, as the kids say, lit.
Was he going to get your shoes?
Debo's. He's owed me. And then from the movie Greenland, Scott Glenn.
That guy.
He is a great that guy.
He's in everything.
Yeah. Everything.
He's in everything.
The Right Stuff as well. And oh my gosh, some great movies. Backdraft.
Training Day.
Okay.
So Rich, did you, you know, a few weeks ago, I told you that Jane Slater had on her IG story that Ocho was screaming for you to call him. Did you get a hold of him?
I have not. We'll do that on the air.
Okay.
We'll do that on the air. One of my favorite interviews when we fired up Bengals camp for him at the very beginning of NFL Total Access, we would have some moments. I'll tell you that. Colt in San Diego has been holding on for a long time. What's up, Colt? We'll take your call before a news update. What's up, Colt?
Hey, Rich. First time caller here. Big time fan for all you guys there.
I wanted
to hit up a couple points. I'll be rapid fire as much as I can.
Okay.
For the poll question. Mm-hmm. Herbert Mahomes, I think, is going to be number one. If the Chargers can get a decent cast around him, I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
Okay.
The other part I wanted to talk to is the Steelers' run game. It's real brutal. I don't understand what's going on. It seems like James Conner is tiptoeing to the hole. I don't like to see that, Rich. I don't think anyone from Pittsburgh likes to see that.
Mm-hmm.
And the biggest point that I wanted to talk to is what do you think about this scenario? Lamar's in the locker room, all right, it's third down and five, whatever. Do you think Greg Roman or someone got to him and was like, hey, bud, you can't rinse those mitts. We need you on the field.
Finish up, basically?
Maybe.
I don't know because whatever it was, it took a long time. Probably like,
sure
thanks for the call, Colt. Thanks for holding on as long as you did. It was like what? Did somebody figure out how many actual real minutes it was from the minute he left the field to the minute he came back? It was like 20. Like,
yeah, 10, 15, at least. 15 at least.
It had to be, you know. So there's that. You ready for your news update over there, Chris?
Hey,
hit it, please, here on the Rich Eisen Show.
And now, with a report of the day's news from the world of sports and entertainment, someone who is not a journalist or newsman by any definition of the word whatsoever, it's Chris Brockman.
All right, what do you have over there, Christopher?
Hey, let's start with Drew Brees. So Saints-Chiefs this weekend, huge one. It's always been the target for Brees to return. But our good buddy Steve Wyche and Jim Trotter, they host the Huddle and Flow podcast. Sean Payton was on there.
Yes.
Said that Drew Brees still in, quote, significant pain recently.
I mean, the guy's 40-something years old, right? And he had, broke so many ribs. I had to look up how many ribs a human body actually has.
Yeah. What was the number on that?
20-something. And he, according to Ed Wardy, he broke 11.
Half. Ooh, believe it. And a punctured lung.
He's no spring chicken. Here we go, man. I mean,
they need him. They need him. They need him.
It's Mahomes and Kansas City coming into the dome.
Oh, yeah.
What's more dangerous than that team in a dome? What's more dangerous than the Chiefs in a dome? There's no weather. There's no nothing.
Perfect conditions.
It is perfect conditions. Let's go. No wind, no nothing. Let's go. In a dome? Are you kidding me? Come on now. Wow.
Too much speed. Too much speed.
What else you got over there? You all choked up? You're all choked up. I can talk right now. Chris Brockman, everybody.
Yeah,
news
got a
update.
Little
froggy?
Well, I had some nuts in the break.
Oh, that's
pause.
What a rookie mistake that is. Do you need some water over there, Chris?
Well, I got some, but I want to plow through the news.
Like a quality really newsman.
Important.
It's all about the journalism.
It's really important. Okay, some Lions news. Chris Spielman leaving the Fox booth. Going to join the Lions organization.
Wow.
As a special assistant to the chairman and president. In addition, the Lions have announced that they've got a team together now to come up with who's going to be their next head coach. Rod Graves, Mark Hollis, and Barry Sanders are going to help with the search. Along with Chris Spielman.
You know,
you look perplexed, Rich.
You look perplexed. What's with all these?
Well, the Texans are doing it too.
What's with all these teams putting together groups to... Now me as a fan, you got this. I got it. I feel better now that I know you're putting a whole bunch of people together to offer advice that you could ask for out of view of anybody. You don't have to make any announcements. Just go ahead and ask. I mean, what's the point of making a blue ribbon panel and you're hearing, you know, crazy names like somebody offered up Jed Hughes of the Texans staff or conglomerate, said, how about Brian Schottenheimer? Okay, great. How about Brian Schottenheimer? Sounds great. May I please do this? I could save everybody a bunch of money, okay? I could be your Korn and Ferry, okay? I'm Mr. Korn Ferry, okay? Instead, don't hire them. Hire me, all right? Give me all the money that you're giving everybody. I'll take it.
Gladly.
Okay? I'll take it. And here's what you need. Houston! Eric Bieniemy, look what he's doing for Mahomes. You took the quarterback after Mahomes. Look what he could do for you. Jets. Eric Bieniemy, look what he's doing for Mahomes. You're getting Trevor Lawrence. Come on now. Simple. That's just one guy. You know? You need help.
Do you really want to be offering Bieniemy to these other teams? Or you should try to keep them for yourself, right?
I'm now hired for all these other teams.
Yeah.
Hey, Detroit is a guy from Dearborn named Robert Saleh, who everybody loves. What do you need? Did that Barry Sanders tell you about that?
the local congressman. Seriously.
He's from Dearborn. He's from right there. Like, what are you doing? He knows your conference. Go to work. And if you don't get them, you know, ask around for one or two, but you got to announce these committees. Like, what are we doing?
Yeah, it's weird.
Save your money.
Like, or give it to us.
Yeah. We can, you know.
RES Consulting.
Like, exactly.
Oh, there you go. LLC. You know
what I mean? Yes, LLC. Set it up.
Let's get this going. All right, some injury news here. Let's start with the Lions. Aren't overly optimistic.
About Stafford?
About Matt Stafford's chances to play this week.
Man.
Dealing with some rib injuries. So it's a big game against Tennessee. Some other stuff we had a caller talk about the Steelers.
By the way, it's Chase Daniel who's there.
Oh, Daniel.
Daniel, yeah.
Again.
No S. There's no S.
Note to everybody, if it's Chase Daniel, it's not Chase Daniels.
No, that's multiple Chase Daniels.
Yeah. Right.
There's only one.
There's one.
Right.
There's only one. James Conner dealing with an injured quad. So he comes back off the COVID list.
My goodness gracious.
Now he's got an injured quad. That might explain some of the
I think they got to saddle up Benny Snell and give it to him 20, 25 times a game and just say, go bell cow it, Benny. This is what you do. Go, 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 go.
Oh, Jalen Samuel, Anthony McFarland.
No, but I choose Benny Snell.
Okay. Ronald
Jones. It's not fantasy. I choose him.
That's RES Consulting right there.
That's RES Consulting.
Ronald Jones is having surgery on his broken pinky. He's going to have a pin put into that pinky finger. Chris Godwin did the same thing a couple weeks ago, missed one game, so it looks like Ronald Jones might miss one game.
Okay.
Brandon Cooks is expected to be back this week. Washington, optimistic that Alex Smith is going to be able to play against Seattle.
They need him.
Raheem Mostert having an MRI on his ankle, and Matt Rhule said he plans on McCaffrey to play again this year. But maybe, but maybe not until week 16.
Oh! Mike Davis?
Mike Davis might ride again.
Unbelievable.
Mazel tov, Mike.
He's gonna go through Hanukkah.
Through it.
We're gonna get to Festivus.
This is a new miracle.
Honestly, he's got more gas than Kramer's car.
Way more.
Than he was test driving.
Way more.
Oh, my God.
Your boy Mike Davis, Rich.
Get out of here.
Yeah, too bad we're all eliminated in the playoffs.
I'm in consolation rounds.
All right. And Michigan, Iowa on Saturday, Rich, canceled.
Yeah, I saw that too.
Yeah, Michigan's season is over.
Worst season in Michigan history.
Yeah,
it can't. Is nothing comes fair. Close. Yeah. What an awful, awful situation to finish up, and I hope all the kids who are ill are going to get better. That's it for this show. Thanks to Scott Van Pelt, Joe Thomas, Austin Eckler, and Christopher Nolan, who drops the remote when Ricky Bobby Talladega Nights comes on TV.
The things you lost, you lost.
Thank you, sir. Things you learn. Thanks for taking in this Tuesday edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We'll see you on Wednesday with Kyle Brandt, Laurent Duvernay-Tardif, and Brian Greasy. We'll see you on the radio Wednesday. If you're on Peacock, stick around. Now there are more ways to be a team with Microsoft Teams. Bring everyone together in a new virtual room, collaborate live, building ideas on the same page, and see more of your team on screen at once. Learn more at Microsoft.com/Teams.